I'm going to be sitting down with Kirk from What's New Video Games talking about Star Wars games. Like, what is happening? A lot of changes, cancellations, upheaval, confirmations, and, you know, a brand new, you know, remaster that just came out. So we kind of want to quickly run through this. This will be a slightly shorter episode than I've done with him in the past, only about 40 minutes, because he is going to spend some time today. Sounds like getting into a debate with Ginger Prime, so don't miss that. Be sure to check that out. Kirk, thanks for being here, man. Appreciate you.
It's always a pleasure. I got to come up with something better to say, but it genuinely is always a pleasure when you have me on. I love coming on. So good discussion today as well. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, we've got a lot of Star Wars news. So if you guys haven't been keeping up, there was some announcements recently sort of in conjunction with the layoffs. And I don't think this is hard to predict. I think we are going to see a decrease in licensed IP, especially if it's IP coming from Disney, because of what we learned from the Insomniac leaks. I think it's just becoming a bit too expensive to create content that then has to have a certain sales threshold and a royalty share and licensing with Disney. So I think both Marvel and Star Wars games we're potentially going to see less of in the future. But we did get confirmation that a Mandalorian game from Respawn, it was going to be a first-person perspective game, has been canceled. Huge bummer there. The third Jedi Survivor game is underway. It has been greenlit, and it's still happening. And the KOTOR remake is still happening. But before we kind of talk about those games as well as Star Wars Eclipse, I want to get your thoughts on the game that just came out that I played a little bit of, and I was like, this is great. This is such a faithful remaster. But your opinion of it is a little different after spending a little bit more time with it.
I would say no, it's not different in regard to those things that you just mentioned. It is great that it exists. It is a faithful remaster. As far as I know, the original Dark Forces was stuck in DOS, MS-DOS, and on the PlayStation 1. And the PlayStation 1 version, the rendering or like the graphics of it is really rough. I tried playing it on my PlayStation 3 at some point, because all PlayStation 3s are backwards compatible with PS1 games. It just did not look good on my flat screen. So it's good that this game exists. However, I tried to play it all the way through for a review, and then eventually I looked up how many levels it has, and it has 14, and I was 6 levels through it, and I was like, all right, we're going to do one more, and if halfway through this game I feel like I just am not enjoying it, maybe I'm going to put it down. And I just really just wanted to stop playing it. And like, that's the thing, is like, I consider myself a reviewer first and foremost. Like, that's the type of content that I do on my channel specifically. Mm-hmm. Everything else is sort of, you know, I'm guesting and co-hosting, and I'm giving, you know, my horrible takes and doing my antics and stuff. But I try to be professional about reviewing, and that means finishing the game. But I was just like, I'm really, really not enjoying this. And the reason for that is just the outdated game design. And it's very like maze oriented. Like, if anybody is a member and watched that stream that you did, I think last Friday, where you played it, it's very much maze oriented, and like all the environments look the same in a given level, and you're sort of wandering around with these like very texture bare walls, and a lot of the time, like, you would have to do a U-turn to find like the path that you need to go down. Like, it very much plays with like corners, and like you have to really check your corners and like look everywhere to make sure you're not missing like some pathway or some open doorway that you need to go through. And you can spend like, I mean, I would spend like 15, 20 minutes just wandering around the map for like a particular level, trying to figure out where I was going to go. Like, this game is very difficult without any type of walkthrough or guide or anything. And I was going to try and play it without using one. And finally, I got like 5 levels into the game, and I was just like, this sucks. Like, I got to like look up something, because I'm just sitting here wasting 20, 30 minutes of time trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. And like, I could just be a dumbass, right? Like, I'll go on record and say, maybe I'm just not intuitively smart enough to play this type of game. And maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe people that grew up with the SNES and the PlayStation 1 is like, you know, their current gen, their version of like what the PlayStation 5 is for us now. They maybe have an intuitive ability to play these type of games and it not fluster them so much. But just the one thing I kept coming back to is like, am I having fun? And with the gunplay, like with shooting dudes, with shooting stormtroopers, I would say, yeah, it was super fun. Like, if this game was a little more of a shooting gallery, like a little bit more like just run and gun, going through, shooting stormtroopers, like doing the thing, right? Being the Star Wars bounty hunter rogue guy, you know, in the vein of Han Solo, I would think it was a little bit more fun. But just the level progression and the trying to get through the levels and the puzzles, it just all felt a bit tedious. And I think that it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the types of games that we have available to us now. Because the game that came after this, I really, really enjoyed it in my childhood. Dark Forces 2, really, really enjoyed that game when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I also enjoyed Shadow of the Empire on N64, which is, by all accounts, a very obtuse game. Like, it really is. And I think it's just like, when that game came out for the N64, it was freaking cool. And it didn't matter that it was super obtuse and it wasn't fun a lot of the time, because you got to be in Star Wars, you got to be a bounty hunter type, you know, mercenary guy, and you got to fight Boba Fett. And like, this is like the same thing. It's just like, do I really want to spend $30 on that and play it in 2024? And I think that
if you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
After spending however long I spent with it to get halfway through the game, I don't. And that's unfortunate, mm-hmm. because I really, really wanted to like this.
Now, did you play the original and beat the original, like, way back? Or you said you played the second one?
I played the second one and beat the second one.
I mean, I was playing it, and I've got my footage running right now. That's why you can kind of see my camera behind Kirk. I don't have a better way to crop that. But I was playing it and certainly felt some of the pain that you're talking about of... They literally won't, and this is a mark of old games. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. This is kind of a hallmark of old games where they tell you nothing. You quite literally have to figure it out on your own. And I think it was because back then, that was common. It wasn't seen as a faux pas or a mistake to just kind of let you run around and just not know what you're supposed to do. So you can see in the footage that I'm running here, like, I can't get any of the doors to open. I can't quite figure out where to go. The map is... you know, fine, but not the greatest. And I do think, I remember going back when the Rare Replay came out. And I played that with my brother, and we were playing through one of the Perfect Dark games. And we just got stuck. Like, I could not figure out how to open a door. I think that is just how games were back then. And we've gone through a metamorphosis. And you don't sense it happening to you. But slowly over time, the more games that you have played that... have told you, go here, touch this, flip this switch, little markers on the screen, that becomes an expectation. So I wonder, have we lost the skill? Because I felt like I was playing Wolfenstein again. The old Wolfenstein 3D, you would have to kind of comb through the map, push on the walls, find the secrets, find the door that you haven't gone into yet. You'd have to kind of remember, you know, is there a door I haven't gone in? Is there a room that I passed over? And that was a skill that you developed playing a game like Wolfenstein. So I kind of felt like those old rusty gears in my brain started turning, and I started figuring out the levels and kind of like, oh, I missed this spot or I missed this room, and I turned the power back on and now all the doors are working. So like, I appreciated, especially in the level that I'm showing, when I suddenly got the power back on, I was like, this was really creative, like, as a game, to have all of these blocked paths that don't open until you get the power on, and they sort of just leave you in the mystery of, well, what am I supposed to do? I appreciated that design element, but I do think it can push against the modern gamer's enjoyment. Like, you're just too used to, and I am too. This isn't unique to anybody, I don't think. I think we're all kind of accustomed to, there's yellow paint, there's arrows, there's markers. And when you don't have
I like my Banisher's yellow paint. I tell you what.
Right? Right?
I'm like, oh, I can go up there. Oh, I didn't.
Spear of Destiny was earlier. Spear of Destiny came later. Wolfenstein 3D, at least my understanding is that Wolfenstein 3D came before Spear of Destiny. I might have the dates wrong on that, but... The point I'm making is simply that I'm not trying to get like the exact chronology of shooters correct. What I'm saying is I remember having to do that in Wolfenstein 3D, and I remember that being a skill that you would develop of basically like short-term map memory. Like, you have to remember where you've been and where you haven't been. Because I remember in Wolfenstein 3D, you could literally pass a doorway.
It all looks the same in this game. That's one of the big problems. Every texture on all the walls looks the exact same. And I'm like, is that... was I ever here before? Or, like, when did I... And it's just, like, it's very taxing mentally. And the game even has good level variety. Like, all the levels look pretty different from one another. Like, there's a level... I think it's like level 3 or whatever. It just looks like Mars. Like, it doesn't look anything like the footage that you see behind us right now. So, like, they did a good job on that. But when you're in a level, like, it's just like the same wall texture used everywhere. And so I'm like, I don't know if this is that thing that I went in or this other thing. And again, it may just be that I'm stupid. It's more that, like, the game costs $30, which I think is like... it's like the equivalent of 70 to 60, basically. Like, this game would be $20 if games were still $60, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I think it's just like, yeah, it's just like that extra $10. So it's like, okay, like, it's more than it probably should be, but games have just kind of gone up in cost. So it's like 30 is the new 20. But it's like, dang, man, like, I got a review copy of this game. I still don't enjoy it, and I thought I was going to. Like, I was hyped. Like, I was ready to go. I was ready to get in on this. Because this game encompasses the vibe of the original trilogy. Like, the original Star Wars aesthetic and vibe, I would say, probably more than any other one that I've seen. Like, I send you a DM that I bought Outcast, which is what I would recommend to everybody. Go buy the port of Jedi Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast first, because that's $10 on PlayStation 5 and Nintendo Switch, and that is just the third game in this trilogy. So you'll be able to figure out if you like these games or not. And that was a port that Aspyr did, and we'll talk about them in a little bit because they're doing the Battlefront Collection port. But that would be a great litmus test of if you'll enjoy this game or not, because it's the third game in the trilogy. And it was also, like, ported, so it's not super-duper remastered or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's, like, a little bit newer game, it's going to give you an idea of what the type of gameplay is, what the level and, like, the level design and the puzzles are like for $20 less barrier to entry cost. And then you'll know, like, oh, maybe do I want to jump into this one? But this one is, like, the definitive, like, it's got Darth Vader. Like, it's got the, you know, Imperial commanders, like, talking, like, they will not discover our plans, Lord Vader, I assure you. You know, they got, like the whole vibe of the original films. And, like, I was so down for that. And then I get into the levels, and I'm like, am I fun? Like, I don't... it's like,
well,
I don't think I am.
Talk a little bit about Star Wars Battlefront, because I, you know, I got a bunch of heat from somebody because they were like, you said it was trash. And all I said was that it looked not good. Like, apparently, if you say something
looks not good...
Listen, this is on topic because it just kind of looks like an old game, and that's fine. But my question to you is, does the veneer fade super fast after you're like, yeah, I remember this game and the sounds and the soundtrack, and about an hour later, are people really going to put time into these games? Like, because, like, we talk about this a lot with Nintendo. Graphics don't matter. Gameplay matters. Like, Nintendo crushes it with games that don't look at all that intense with their graphical fidelity. But I just think there's design philosophies and there's functionality that you can feel it in the game that we just discussed, Dark Forces Remaster. I feel like you're going to feel that in the Battlefront Classic. Do you think this is a bit of a fool's errand to take these really old games and remake them? Because are they going to fade as fast as they come out?
No, I love this game, and it's part of my childhood. I think it's part of a lot of people's childhood in a particular generation. And that may be how people feel about Dark Forces, to be very, very fair. Like, and that's who it's for, probably. But one thing about the new Battlefront games that DICE made is I just didn't think that they captured what made these games very good. They made decently good games in their own right. Like, I think those games got maligned a lot because the microtransaction thing, and then that was, like, very much something that people wanted to push back on at that time, and I was just, like, everywhere. But they did do the whole loot box thing, which I think is an even worse perversion of, like, what we see now with the cash shops, even the rotating cash shops. Like, the loot box thing is rough. So I think that game got unfairly treated, but that game has had, and I think maybe still does have, a dedicated community, and it really is a good place to experience that IP. Like the Star Wars Battlefront 2 right now is a decent experience, like the complete edition or whatever. But I just didn't think that what they created really, I didn't know if it earned the Battlefront name. Like I didn't know if it was just Battlefield, but Star Wars, and maybe they should have called it something different or whatever. Like to call it Battlefront is like, we are remaking these games, and I didn't really think it felt like those games. So for them to come back, I'm happy with that. I would have liked it to be a little more up-res than it is. I think that Aspyr does very bare-bones work. They're basically a porting company, and like that, they wear that on their sleeve. They don't say that they're Blue Point or anything like that, to be totally fair to them. But, you know, it still looks like it's running on, I guess, backwards compatible. Like, I was telling you, these are already on the Series X, by the way. And, I mean, they're on PC, I'm sure. I don't play games on PC, but these are already available in places. You just can't play them online. So what they're doing then is they're just giving you a version of this game where you can play online with 64 players. And I support that. However, I have only one problem with this collection, and it's a huge problem, and it's that it is not crossplay. It's not crossplay. It's cross-gen, which companies are like counting that as crossplay, but that's not a real version of crossplay, in my opinion. It also, if you use the word crossplay, you're giving people the wrong impression, and then they might think they can buy a game and play it with their friends, and they can't. I did that with Hunt Showdown, but yeah, it's not crossplay. It's only cross-gen between like PS4 and PS5, for instance. And it's like, what is the point of you giving me a game that I can already play on my Series X or my PC against the AI, which to me is the funnest part of the game, by the way, because I just shoot all the AI guys, and I'm really good when I go against the AI. I'm probably going to suck when I'm online, you know what I'm saying, Lona? I'm going against the AI. It's just Helldivers. It's just Helldivers in 2005 or whenever this game came out. You're shooting the droids and stuff, and it's fun. And it's like, if you're going to give me that, and the whole value prop is that you're giving me that and I can go online with 64 other people, how are you going to confine that to particular ecosystems? Like, would the whole point of providing that, would the whole point of the value proposition not be to make that crossplay, to make that exist like a Fortnite does or something? And I don't know how they missed the mark there. I don't know if it's technical limitations. I don't know what it is.
I mean, that's what I would assume. I would assume that how old the game was, they would have potentially had to completely recode the back end to get you to be able to play with another console. Like, that probably wasn't even a concept back then of what we do and expect now from multiplayer games. So
yeah, but it's like, then
I think it's a bummer. I don't disagree with you about it being a bummer. I think it's a bummer because it's like,
how much work are you actually doing giving us a game that I already have access to? Because again, credit to Night Dive. They took a game that runs on MS-DOS and that did not run super well on PS1 and made it run super well given the technical limitations on PS5. Like, for anybody that's interested, go watch the Digital Foundry video. Like, they went into how the frame pacing is totally different. They had to accommodate for that. There's a lot of accommodations and things that they did to make that game run really, really well on PS5. The game runs and plays really, really well. I just didn't think it was very fun, like, in terms of the design. But what they did with the porting work was great. Congratulations to Night Dive for the people that want to go experience that game. That is undoubtedly the best version of that game to play. But with this one, it's like, I can kind of already play this game. I just can't play it online with people. It's like, I don't know. I mean, like, it's one of my favorite games of all time. So I'm like not going to sit here and trash all over it. But it's just like, dang, man. Like, that's just a miss. That's just an objective miss for it to not be crossplay.
I think it's a good segue because it probably is budgetary limitations. And given what we're hearing about IP, licensed IP.
This guy's the master, guys. This guy is a hosting master. You're getting a hosting master class right now.
With that being in decline, you know, according to EA, and I don't even think you have to look at EA, I think we're going to see a decline in licensed IP from Disney, both Star Wars and Marvel, respectively, given what we learned about Spider-Man and just the cost associated.
You look at something like Avengers and see all that, and Suicide Squad, and you can see all the investment going to that, and it reap absolutely nothing good. And it's like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that, you know?
Well, and I think it's so risky, and because all of these companies are trimming cost and reducing operation, that's one of the first things they're going to do is they're going to say, well, we don't want to take those risks. So the Mandalorian game getting canceled, you know, what are your thoughts on that? That was coming from Respawn. And I saw people that were like, oh, I wouldn't want to play it because it's first person. But I'm thinking, that's Respawn, though. Like, that's I trust them that I don't necessarily need to be able to see Mando. What were your thoughts hearing that just has been completely canceled?
Oh, is that what it is? Like, it was going to be... I just took that to mean it was a Mandalorian game. Like, a Mandalorian is a Star Wars thing. Have I missed that entirely, that it was going to literally be set in the show, basically? Or was it just going to be loosely based around you being a character that is similar to Pedro Pascal's character?
That's a question that we... Yeah, it was apparently going to be inspired by Dark Forces as well. Thank you, Sven. That's the question that a lot of people had. It was my understanding that you would play as Din Djarin. Okay. Like, you would play as Mando. And,
that would have been cool.
You know, obviously they want that iconic look, right, of him from the show, maybe even Grogu's with you, or you're trying to get to him or something.
See, the thing about these games getting cut, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, you weren't going to play as Din Djarin. I'm sorry. You were just going to play as the Mandalorian. I misread chat. That's my mistake.
Okay. The thing about these type of games getting cut, right, is, like, you have to think about it. Like, if we heard that... because this was all that we knew for a while. If we heard that Rocksteady was making a game with Superman as one of the centerpieces and they canceled it, if that's all we heard, we'd be like, oh man, I really wish that game was going to come out. Or if we heard that BioWare was making a game where you fly around a different planet in Iron Man-like mech suits and that was getting canceled, we'd be like, oh man, that really sucks that got canceled. I really want to play that game. And then these games come out, and it's like, oh, yeah, single-player studio that is known for, like, really good games made a game around a licensed IP or around an idea that people aren't really necessarily on board, or the systems or the mechanics aren't necessarily on board. Maybe the game's not that great. And so it's like, yeah, we're always going to look at things from the perspective of, like, game that we only know certain details about gets canceled, and we can imagine that it would be good because we're gamers, right? We can always envision a good game. Like, you give us any idea, we can be like, okay, I see how that could work. They could do this with it. You know, like, I feel like we're optimistic in general because gaming and game creation is a form of art. And so, like, we're willing to look at that and say, like, oh, there is value here. There's art here. So if you take a concept like Respawn, proven single player, and online multiplayer, first-person shooter developer makes Star Wars game, like, yeah, like, give me that, you know? But it's like, maybe they canceled it for some unknown reason that, like, we don't know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Skull and Bones exists, and there's people out there that maybe would be fine with it not existing, you know? And if it's like, oh, they're making a... you know, pirate game in the same vein as Black Flag, oh, they canceled it. And people would be like, oh no, why'd they cancel it? It's like, well, maybe they did for a reason. So we're never going to know. And that's the thing. Like, we're not going to know, like, why they canceled it. But
I was not aware. We actually got details from Insider Gaming that you were going to start in a den, which was like your base of operations. It had your ship, map of the galaxy, an upgrade station, armory, and more. It's understood that it would be where you select your bounties that you would want to pursue, and the player would equip weapons. Now, it was not an open world. It would be more linear level experience, but it did have some larger open areas, and combat was described as very fast-paced due to the Mandalorian jetpack, so you would do, like, vertical dashes, horizontal boosting, and there was even takedowns, reminiscent of some of the Doom takedowns, and the main enemies were going to be stormtroopers who would patrol the maps to try, you know, when you're trying to, like, complete your bounty. So there was, you know, regular weapon, shotgun, sniper, heavy with rockets and more. So it sounds like they were going for more of their sort of their own take on what it would be like to be a Mandalorian, not Mando himself from the show.
I wonder if they canceled it if a lot of that studio and their teams are devoted to making Apex good and providing content there and working on the Jedi games. And I wonder if they were like, this other third prong is too much and we're spreading ourselves too thin in terms of, like, the quality of these games. Like, we want to focus on our online multiplayer experience, Battle Royale, in terms of Apex, and we want to focus on Jedi. And that's what we have the capacity to do. And we're not going to be able to make this game of the quality that we feel is the Respawn quality that we want to put out there, you know, or the Rocksteady quality, the BioWare quality, BioWare magic, you know, like we've seen this story before, and like I don't know that this was going to be live service at all, so I don't want to invoke that, but I just wonder if I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and not just say it's EA being greedy corporation and they canned the game because it would have been amazing, it would have been a 9 out of 10, but they hate making good games. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder if there was something else going on there. I mean, that could be the case. It could just be like, we didn't think it was going to make us enough money or whatever, but I feel like there was probably a factor there, like a Skull and Bones or something, where they were like, this is struggling. Maybe we pull the plug, you know?
Well, and I think a lot of this is in line with what the industry's doing. You know, cutting costs, laying people off. In the same token of seeing like a Mandalorian game canceled, EA's like, we're not going to be doing as much licensed IP. We got Embracer Group selling Saber Interactive. Saber Interactive is going to be a privately owned company and free from Embracer, and they're going to continue building the KOTOR remake. And this was welcome news to a lot of people because I think there was a lot of fear about whether or not the KOTOR remake was going to go forward. And we don't actually even know what the status is. You know, according to Game Informer, they're just going to continue working on it. This is another remake. This is another situation where, you know, there's got to be concerns about the veneer and the nostalgia fading with all of these remakes and all these things that they want to do, and the cost that's going to go into going independent. Where's Saber going to get, you know, its funding for in the future? And
what,
you know, how much is riding on KOTOR?
What are you looking at right now behind us? What is this?
It's a Game Informer article reporting that the sale is an effort of Embracer to cut their costs. Like they're basically allowing Saber to go independent. They're basically, it's a $500 million deal.
And is that who's doing the Knights of the Old Republic?
They Saber will be doing, yeah, Knights of the Old Republic remake.
Do we think that them selling it like saved the remake? Because people were thinking the remake was dead in the water for a little bit last year.
This has been the game that's been shrouded in mystery. It was canceled, then it wasn't, then it was on hold, then it was, you know, changing developers. And Now Saber is splitting from Embracer, and then they're going to continue the KOTOR remake development.
Yeah.
Now people in chat are saying KOTOR will do numbers. I don't disagree with that. I think KOTOR is of a different caliber of demand.
I want to play it so bad. I've never played those games, and I'm just praying that that remake comes out. Like, I'll play the remake, and then I'll go play the old version of 2. I don't think I'll wait for a 2 remake, because I don't know that that's guaranteed. But if they get that game out the door, I'll, like, buy it day one, I'll play it, and then I'll go play the old version of 2. But I really, really want that game to come out so I can have that experience with that IP. I can have the, because I tried to play it on PC. My mom literally bought me a copy for like my birthday or Christmas or something, and it wouldn't run on my PC. I've hated PCs ever since. I was traumatized as a child by Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. But yeah, so I couldn't play it as a kid. And so I don't have any, there's nothing compelling me. There's no nostalgia. There's no nothing for that franchise. But I know that people love it. Like, people love Knights of the Old Republic, and I just want to have that experience, and I feel like this remake could like give me that in the same way that Final Fantasy VII Remake and Resident Evil Remake have done for like another generation of gamers. And I remember what that franchise was at the time when I was a kid, and so if they get this remake out and it's not a total disaster, oh man, I'm gonna be so happy. So I hope that that happens. I was kind of resigned to the fact that it was canceled. I never saw that it was uncanceled.
Mm-hmm.
But now if Embracer is, and I was thinking it was two different studios. But yeah, the more studios that can get out from under the hood of Embracer, the better, right? So that's great that Saber's getting out there. Saber put out the Wildcard Football game that I reviewed on my channel and really enjoyed. It's a microtransaction free version of like Madden Ultimate Team. It's great.
Mm.
So like, yeah, Saber's a good place that games come out of. And that's a little bit surprising because KOTOR is like kind of a big undertaking for them. I didn't realize that they were the ones that were doing that. But
well, people are going to be pretty, you know, heavily scrutinous of it. I wouldn't think that'd be any different for Star Wars Outlaws, which I have running behind us now. Another Star Wars game coming this year.
dude.
You know, from Massive, can Massive catch a break? You know, because Avatar did not do well, and this.
Well,
this...
that was weird, right? Like, why didn't the Far Cry team make that? Why did the Division team make the Far Cry reskin with Pandora? Like, that's strange to me. Because, like, the Far Cry team makes good games. Like, Far Cry 4 is one of my favorite games ever. It's really, really good. Far Cry 5 is, like, an Americana-infused version of that. That's still good, but it lacked a little bit of the identity that I think 3 and 4 had. And then 6 got all that identity back with Giancarlo Esposito and, like, all this culture, all this personality. Sure, is there a little bit of fatigue from playing the same type of game over and over again? Yeah, but that's what you get with Ubisoft. That's what they do with Assassin's Creed. That's what they're doing with Far Cry. That's kind of just their thing. They just milk an idea until everybody's exhausted with it. And you're either down for the ride or you're not. But I just feel like... I feel like maybe something was missing. It's kind of like the WDB Montreal making Batman games. Like, they made Arkham Origins, and they made Gotham Knights. Not to put them on blast or anything. Arkham Origins is a fine game. It's okay. It's fine. I just don't think that people think that it's as good as the trilogy. And so it's like, did the Avatar game suffer a little bit because they didn't have their best team that makes those games making that game? I don't know. I would posit that, though.
But that would have been worse because I think the problem with Avatar was anything that smelled like Far Cry was too familiar and people criticized it. Like, it was a beautiful game. Digital Foundry said it was one of the best looking games last year. And yet the gameplay just had, it had just enough similarities to Far Cry that people kind of threw it in the bin and they were like, yeah, this game's no good. I was loving it. I only stopped playing it because other games came out that I needed to make time for. I had put, you know, across both PC and PlayStation, I put over 20 hours in that game. And I thought it was a very enjoyable experience, and no performance issues. It ran well for how pretty it was. And now, you know, Massive taking a crack at another licensed IP, and everything I've seen from Star Wars Outlaws, I think looks fantastic. I think
they
have
to nail this game,
right?
Like, especially after Skull and Bones. Like, I'm the biggest Skull and Bones defender I think I know. Like, yeah, I don't know that there's...
I don't know about biggest. I would say only. You might be the only.
Lodo, there's literal content creators. Like, there's literal people that are like, here's how you get the flamethrower. And, like, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, you can't say that. But anyway, as far as, like, people on, like, talk, like podcasts and shows and stuff like this, I feel like, yeah, maybe I am the only one. I'm not sure. But, like, that game is, like, it's not objectively good. It's a game that I think are good aspects in it that I can find the fun in it. But mm-hmm. it's also, like, a 6 or 7 out of 10, you know? Like, it's like the way Destiny was when it launched, kind of, if not a little bit worse. But that had a following. Like, there's people that get into those type of games. And I think that Skull and Bones will hit for its particular audience. This game has to hit for everybody. Like, they cannot miss on this game. Like, Star Wars Outlaws cannot come out, and it can't just be like, well, some people like it. No, this has to be the Star Wars game, or they're just going to get so much flack from everybody, because this is just such a huge IP. Like, they've got to do the Hogwarts Legacy thing. They've got to nail this. They've got to crush it.
Well, and
otherwise, Ubisoft is just never going to get looked at with any, like, acclaim legitimacy like ever again. I feel like, I mean, that's hyperbolic, but you get what I'm saying. Like,
well, more than
this,
that
this is a make or break game for them.
Like, more than that, it needs to run well. I mean, Jedi Survivor still has like a 66% on Steam, not just overall, but in the last 30 days they basically abandoned Jedi Survivor on PC. I find that to be embarrassing, since it's such a profitable, to, you know, to be out here saying, oh, Jedi Survivor 3 is coming, it's still underway. You got Cameron Monaghan saying that it's being made. And it's like, well, you abandoned your PC audience that's, you know, enjoying the game. My hope would be that Massive has better chops and that their engine is better suited for a multiplat. Because if this thing has, you know, a 60% on Steam, that just sullies the whole thing for me.
Yeah, Lono, I know you're really upset it's not PS5 exclusive, but hopefully they'll be able to make a decent game regardless.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm upset, but I would. How could you deny that if this was a timed exclusive for PS5, it would launch, and I would have less concerns about that. Like, You know
what
I'm saying?
You guys can go watch last Monday's video, our exclusive bad, for our full hour-long debate on whether or not... Actually, it was an hour and a half.
It was long.
Hour-and-a-half-long debate on whether exclusives are bad, where I absolutely cooked this man, and none of y'all appreciated it whatsoever. You all were hating on my terrible takes, apparently.
Do you have doubts about Stellar Blade's optimization, or did you have any doubts about, like, Spider-Man 2's optimization?
As I was saying, go watch our hour and a half mm-hmm. long debate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After the Jedi games, and obviously this is going to be cast as being a pony. It's more about the pattern holds. Like, the pattern holds. It's like, I'm only concerned about this game's optimization because of what we've seen happen with multiplats and PC specifically. Like, I didn't even try to play this game on PC, Jedi Survivor, and I'm angry for the people that did. It's like, it's just embarrassing, yeah. You know?
They should delay this game. Well, this is Ubisoft, not EA, though. And I don't know that they... since Assassin's Creed Unity... I'm sure somebody in the chat is going to put me right. But since Assassin's Creed Unity, I don't know that they've had, like, a giant fiasco with performance and bugs and anything Ubisoft. But maybe some game that I don't care about.
Yeah, I definitely think I have more confidence. I have more confidence in Massive doing multiplat. I do. I'm not as concerned as what happened with Jedi... Survivor.
They should delay this game as much as they need to. Like, this game needs to hit. This game needs to be very good. This game needs to have all the content. Like, the same thing as Hogwarts. Like, you get into Hogwarts and it's like, oh, the castle is just like this big. Like, I can go to these towns and villages and talk to these people and all these quests and all this content. You know, like, this game needs to be like that. It needs to be like that. It needs to be like The Witcher. Like, it cannot be in space doing the Star Wars thing. And I don't care if they need to cut corners and do the Starfield thing and I don't actually fly through space, fine. It's about the IP. How are you letting the IP shine? If I can't do all the space stuff, if I can't fly through space from planet to planet, if it isn't No Man's Sky, I don't care. What are the NPCs I'm interacting with? Where am I going? You know, we see that scene that you just cut away from behind us. Like, she's in a tavern. She's making the backroom deals with the, you know, the kingpin of the outlaws or, like, whatever. You know, like, I want to be invested in the Star Wars-ness of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they've got to figure out how to deliver on that.
They said you can become a proper scoundrel. They even said, this is interesting, because I remember when
they
she
also
first...
said that you could be a pirate and you wouldn't just be a boat.
Well, then I'll be very happy if I don't have to play the game as a spaceship, you know. If I actually get to walk around, you know, heaven forbid I want some player volition.
10 out of 10, do get to walk around.
Yeah, maybe we can go hump some asteroids for some materials in this game. Anyway, no, but I actually was curious whenever she first shows up to the cantina and she's talking to the droid. I was like, this looks like a movie. They actually developed technology to emulate the lenses, the movie, like, camera lenses from the 80s, so that it looks like Star Wars. Like Star Wars. Like, that intentional touch gives me some confidence. But you got to go quickly, so I want to touch on one last thing here. Talk to us about Star Wars Eclipse. You sent me this article 5 days ago. Star Wars Eclipse, everything we know. You know, Games Radar trying to break it down. This title, another one shrouded in mystery. What's going on with Eclipse right now?
I mean, you know, Quantic Dream is just going to Quantic Dream. They've obviously had some problems in the past, some things that David Cage said in court and whatnot. I don't know if you guys remember that controversy, but that was about like 3 or 4 years ago. So this is a studio that's questionable. Their games are questionable. Like, I'm a big proponent of Detroit Become Human. It's probably one of my favorite games ever made, at least from a technical standpoint, and what they were able to do with, like, narrative disparity in terms of choices. But also, people just don't like their games a lot of the time. Like, you know, like, Heavy Rain is more of a meme now than anything. And Detroit was, like, kind of like that, too. Like, their storytelling is a bit rough at times, and it can come off, like, very awkward and obtuse. And so, like, I think that this game will just be more of that, and it'll be a Star Wars version of that, and it'll be, like, the Game of Thrones Telltale that, like, was serviceable at best, and it's like, yeah, this exists. I can go interact with this if I want to, I guess. Is that a good way to interact with the Game of Thrones IP? Arguably not. Like, questionably so, you know? But, like, I'm all for these type of games getting made. I'm glad they're not getting canceled, you know? It'll be interesting to see what Quantic Dream does with the Star Wars IP, but do I think it'll be better than a 7 out of 10? I would be surprised. I'd be happy if it was, but I'd be surprised. I think people will clown this game for sure. Because it's Quantic Dream, and people clown Quantic Dream games. Like, they have a body of work we can look at. I tend to like it. I think they make a very unique type of game that we see more and more of with, like, weird games like Immortality and, like, stuff like that. Like, the narrative stuff where you're making... Immortality might be a bad example. But a different type of game that's more akin to film is kind of what these games approach. And I think that would be cool. I think Star Wars is, like, a cool IP for that. It's just them getting it out the door is going to be awkward. And then the final product that we get in our hand is going to be awkward. And I say, just everybody just embrace that, you know, like it's going to happen. And just, you just go along for the ride and you're going to be playing that game. You're going to be like, what? And there'll be some very clippable moments from that game and it'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're going to try to bring their touch to branching storylines, and it's, like, something they've never built before.
That would be super cool if you can, like, you know, whether you're the dark side or the light side, like, heavily influences how the story goes and stuff. Like, there's potential here for this to, like, hit in some big ways, but believe it when I see it, you know? Like, I'm going to play the game, and then I'll give an assessment, but I just hope it comes out. Like, if this doesn't come out, I'd be disappointed, because I just want to see what it is. Like, whether it's good, it can be terrible. It could be a 4 out of 10. I just want it to come out so that I can play it and be like, this is terrible. Like, I want to experience whatever this game is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, the art style has me captivated. And if they give you a genuine experience of, you know, are we going to be able to get into lightsaber fights? Are we going to be able to do all those things? Or is it going to be more of a, you know, classic, narrative-focused, like Detroit Become Human?
Absolutely, that's what they do for sure. And there'll be some weird combat sequences. I don't know how they'll do them, but they will be weird. I guarantee you they will be weird. So I'm excited. I'm excited, like, in the same way that people were excited for Madam Web, like, knowing that it might be bad. Like, that's how I'm excited for this game. Do I think it will be that bad? No, but it could be.
Well, this
it
says
could also
here
be good.
This says here that it is said to be a more traditional action experience without skimping on all the choice and consequence that Quantic Dream is so good at delivering. So it does sound like we actually are going to have a more traditional action experience in this. So maybe there will be, you know, shootouts and lightsaber fights and flying. I mean, this is one of those games where it's like, I can't even, like, wrap my fingers around what exactly they're trying to make, because they're being so vague in their descriptions.
I love that, too. I love that type of stuff.
Like the vague marketing.
Yeah, and like stuff like Death Stranding, you're like, what is it? Like, what is this game? Like, I like stuff
right.
like that.
Right. Well, you've got to go to Ginger, right? It's 1 o'clock. I'm assuming you're going over there.
We're going to talk some more about Dark Forces. You might get some positive opinions on Dark Forces. We're going to talk about Battlefront as well. And, yeah, I'm going to keep it professional, but he might start some shit. So if you guys want to see that, come on over.
He may. Ginger likes to...
He likes to start some shit. Yeah.
He likes to get in little sparring debates. And if you guys want to check that out, please be sure... Which channel are you guys doing that on? Is it on Work the Game?
Work the Game. And YouTube.
Oh, Twitch and YouTube. Okay, so make sure and check that out. And as typical for us, we're going to be heading to our member writer's room. So if you're at the $6 member tier or higher, I will redirect you guys over there as well as provide you with a link. It's a real quick show today, just kind of being like, yo, what is going on with Star Wars games right now?
Overall, I think we're both excited, right? Like, we're both excited for whatever comes out of the IP. Probably good or bad. Like, Star Wars Outlaws is the exception. That game has to be good. But everything else, like, yeah, just give me Star Wars games. Just give them to me. Let me play them. And then,
I didn't say as much, you know, because I was more curious what you were thinking on a lot of this. I will say just very briefly, I'm concerned about Jedi Survivor 3. I'm concerned about virtually anything coming out, because if they're trying to skimp on price and they're trying to get things out the door, Survivor was rushed. Survivor 3 will likely also be rushed. The director left, by the way. He's at Santa Monica now. So that's also concerning about continuity and vision
transfer. I guess there's a distinction between AAA and AA. Like, the AAAs have to hit. Ubisoft and Respawn, they have to hit. They have to be good. They have to be a fair value proposition for gamers. But, like, you know, remaster of Dark Forces, okay. I'm glad that they did that. Battlefront Collection, okay. Is it necessarily worth the value when it's not crossplay? To each their own. weird Quantic Dream game is going to come out. Cool. Like, you know, so it's like, I would love to see more games and remasters and stuff from the IP come out. And then they're there for people to buy if they want to buy them. Or people don't, that's fine. But yeah, the big AAA ones that use the IP, they've got to hit. Yeah. They've got to.
Yeah. So we'll see. I've got concerns. I think we're both going to see a decrease in how many show up. And then the quality is a concern too, because Disney's going to want their cut. And these companies are going to just say, just get this thing out the door. Like, we can't, you know, yeah. this isn't a good deal for us any longer. And I know for a fact Jedi Survivor was pushed out to hit there. You know, Disney wanted a new Star Wars game every 6 months. And the minute you start pushing cadence over quality, I think it has a huge effect. So, guys, I'm going to smash a link in chat. That's the Writer's Room. That's where we're going to go to plan tomorrow's shows. We appreciate your support. If
Thanks,
you're not
guys.
A paying member, if you can't come with us to the Writer's Room, go over to Work the Game and watch these guys do their thing. And I'm going to start that stream.
Appreciate chat for being so great today. And Lono is great as always. Can't wait to see you next Monday. But yeah, good talk.
Glad
to talk about Star Wars. So just, it's hard not to like Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even though I don't think Dark Forces is that fun, it's like still Star Wars, man. Like, it's still Star Wars at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. I just want I want new games. I get that people want to go back and have those memories, but
yeah,
you know.
Hey, man, so. Outlaws. Maybe it'll be really, really good.
It's supposed to be this year.
Take care, man. I'll catch you next week.
All right. See you, Kirk. Thanks so much for being a member or higher and for doing that extra support of the channel. It's going to be a writer's room, and I'll let you guys kind of know what happened over the weekend, why there were no shows on Friday, if you missed me talking about that in the live environment. So I'm going to end the previous show Kirk and I did about just Star Wars games, like what's going on. We got canceled projects. We got projects sort of in limbo. We got projects trading hands. We tried to do just like a buckshot flyover of everything going on with Star Wars games. I'm going to end that stream and bring people over on a redirect. And then I'll make sure and change that thumbnail. We don't want that showing up.